I take a sidebar this morning, if I can get my brain to wake up. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. Taking a little sidebar from Romans. Donis, it is good to see you. Donis and I have been talking the last several days. I've been working on a project at home, and I've had to go to True Value like multiple times every day. So this is the third day in a row we've seen each other, right? She told me, don't be surprised, I'm going to be there Sunday. I'm glad you're here. Who's been watching the men's Final Four? Come on, be honest. Three people? That's it? You guys are liars right now, because I know there's some basketball fans in there. Hey, so, kind of a weird connection here, but, you know, today is a day across the world that people celebrate something. And you know, it's kind of an intriguing holiday, this thing called Easter. It's intriguing because really and truthfully, God wants us to celebrate the resurrection every day. And I think sometimes we struggle with that a little bit. I think sometimes there's a reality that we don't, sometimes things become kind of routine, don't they? Where it's just like, it's like the Lord's Supper, right? We, you know, one of the things in the Church of Christ is we do the Lord's Supper every week. There are a lot of churches that don't do that every week. And we have dove into Scripture. And sometimes I think there's beauty in that. Sometimes I think there's some danger in that, because I think sometimes we're not really doing it how God intended or desired for us to do that. And so I'm going to challenge us this morning as we kind of think about this being a day that the world is celebrating. Believers are celebrating the resurrected Christ. I want us to remember that, man, if we can make this part of everyday living, it'll change your life forever. It will. It will change your life forever. But as I was thinking about that, Lana and I watched the Final Four games last night. Don't really have a horse in the race, but Lana and I just love watching basketball. Any Arizona Wildcat fans? Was got a couple was back there, you know. I mean, if you're a diehard, which, you know, hey, sometimes you guys have to use your imagination, all right. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. Everyone here today is an Arizona Wildcats fan, all right. Do your head like this. I love the Arizona Wildcats. And if they're your team and you've been watching them all season, and man, they've been having a phenomenal season. They've been playing hard. They've been just pounding opponents. They lost two games in the middle of the season, kind of a weak moment to Texas Tech, and then they lost to Kansas. But really and truthfully, they've been profound all year. And they've made it to this elite stage. Lana and I, it's one of our favorite places to go, the men's Final Four. We've been to several of them in our marriage. And so this is kind of something we get excited about watching. And Michigan and who, my boys, when we took them to the Final Four, they were all cheering for Michigan. They lost. But, you know, so I kind of have this soft spot in my heart for Michigan a little bit, too, because my boys have felt bad for years that they just can't quite make it, right? But envision, if you will, that you're just a diehard Arizona Wildcats fan, and they have made it to the men's Final Four, and they're matched up against Michigan, another powerhouse team this year. And they got pounded last night. Michigan pounded them. And if you're just this really in-depth Arizona Wildcat fan, last night it was over. Last night, some of those players will never step on a court again. It was just over. It was probably emotional for some of them. And maybe if you're a fan, you're like, oh, it's been since 2001 since we made it to the Final Four. And what if we have to wait another 30 years? And I think sometimes as Christians, we get so hung up that we forget. It's like we know Jesus went to the cross. We know that. Everybody know that? Do you head like this? We know that. But it wasn't over. I think what's fascinating to me, this thing's wanting to fall off. I think what's fascinating to me, and this is probably my favorite topic, if you can't tell. All right? Brooks will not criticize me for being mean today or growly in the sermon. I'm excited because I think in this moment, I think sometimes I want you to envision being Peter for a second. Use your imagination again, right? This guy that you've been chasing around from town to town, that you left everything that you knew. You left your trade. You left all that you've accomplished in life, everything that's familiar in life. And Jesus comes one day and says, "Hey, follow me." And he drops everything and he follows Jesus. Imagine being Peter this morning. Imagine being this guy who's been chasing Jesus around from town to town, feeling somewhat like a protector of Jesus, feeling like someone who's got to make sure he has his input into stuff. And then all of a sudden, Jesus tells you, Peter, that you're going to deny him 3 times. Oh, there's no way. I would never do that. I gave up everything to follow you. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Why would I deny that? And yet Peter does. But I want you to imagine this morning being Peter and watching and looking with your own two eyes as Jesus is hanging on the cross. It's like being that Arizona Wildcats fan. It's over. It's over. It's been a good ride. But it's over. So many of them didn't know what to do. I can imagine the confusion. This guy that they've been, that just knew that was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he's hanging on a tree. I watched him with my own eyes take his last breath. It's over. And I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of do that in our life. We give our life to Christ and it's like it's over. And then we spend the rest of our lives trying to be right, trying to do good. Anybody out there trying to do good? We talked about that a little bit in class this morning. And you spend your whole life trying to earn what was freely given to you. And we just miss out so often on this thing that we should be celebrating not once a year, but every day. Not just on Sundays, every day. Because, see, sometimes we need to categorize what happened in Jesus' life all the way through the resurrection and don't stop at the cross. Oftentimes we stop at the cross. You guys have heard me say this before. Quit dying and start living. Jesus has called you. God has called you to quit dying and start living because we're the embodiment of the resurrection. See, when Jesus went onto the cross, that was the penalty. That was the debt that he paid for each of us to hang on that cross. The acceptance of that payment was the resurrection. See, Jesus paid for it on the cross. God accepted it and raised him on the third day. Why is this so important for us as believers? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I had Desiree put this up because we're going to read it towards the end. And I know that says 2 Corinthians, but we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is just putting a ton of emphasis around this. The same kind of emphasis that I want to address this morning. Because I'm using Easter as an excuse to talk about my favorite topic, which is the resurrected Lord. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to read, starting in verse 12. Now Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 12. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. And we are even found in misrepresenting God because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. But in Christ we have hope in this life. Only we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man comes also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. I want us to realize, as Paul is making the case, that listen, if there's no resurrection, there's no point. Y'all hear that in his message? He's saying if there's no resurrection, there's no point. Because if there's no resurrection, he just died on a cross. And we're all silly for following him for 3 years. If there's no resurrection, there's no point. I need us to understand that if we're going to value something, I'm not saying diminish the value of the death on the cross, but elevate the value of the resurrected Lord. Because the resurrected Lord is God telling you the payment's been paid and I have accepted it. I think we need to understand that the same, in multiple times throughout Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapter 6. Matter of fact, turn to Romans chapter 6, since we're experts in Romans, since we've been studying that for the last several months. Starting in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. See, Paul, I love Paul just makes such articulate cases. And I want you to hear in Romans 6, I want you to hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to hear the message that if we've been joined with him in his death, won't we also be joined with him in his resurrection? Why is the resurrection so powerful and so important for believers today? Because it's the reality that we can escape the mortal man. I mean, there have been people for generations looking for, what's the term for it? To live forever. Fountain of youth. Hey, I found it. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's in the resurrection. The last enemy that Jesus had to conquer was death. Was death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that was the last one. Was death. He didn't just overcome in his life. He didn't just overcome in his death. He was raised and put victory behind everything. How would you feel if you were, because everybody in here is still Arizona Wildcat fans, right? How would you feel if we left church this morning and all of a sudden Michigan got thrown out because it did something crooked and Arizona was in the championship? Y'all are fans, right? Woohoo! Right? We're excited. And I want you to understand, when all these people who have been following Jesus around in his life and they witnessed the death of Jesus Christ, I want you to understand what they must have felt like when all of a sudden the tomb was empty. When they walked up to the tomb and no one was there. And not only was Jesus not there anymore, but they start seeing him. He appears to Peter. It says he appeared, and this is the first half of 1 Corinthians 15, appeared to over 500 people, the last of which being Paul on the road to Damascus. Imagine, if you will, the moment of depression and uncertainty with life just falling apart, only to realize that it's back on. And it's not just back on. He conquered the last thing, death. Nothing else can beat him. This morning, I want to read this really quick. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Your old self is gone. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to be who you formerly were. I want you to put your identity in who I am, and you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, we were reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I know you have died to yourself. But that is not the end of your story. It's not the end of your story in Bayport, Colorado. It's the beginning of the most amazing story. Because not only are you joined in his death, as Paul says in the book of Romans, but you are also united with him in his resurrection. You have the ability. And that's not for our future holdings. If you have a 401k, good job. That's not going to help you with what we're talking about. But the life that we have, that Christ has given us the opportunity to have, is for today. It's for tomorrow. It's for next week. Because through him, he gives us the ability to have hope in difficult situations. He gives us the ability to love when hate seems to be the thing that wants to come out. He gives us the ability to do the opposite of what this world is telling us to do. And it's because we understand he's risen. It's because we understand the tomb's empty. It's because we understand that he is asking us to participate in that resurrection with him. Easter Sunday isn't just about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. About your resurrection. It's about your ability to become a new creation. It's about our ability to live this life that God has placed us in for a purpose that's so much bigger than being alive right now. Because I'm here to tell you, for each of those people that mourn the loss, you could not take the fire of the resurrection out of Jesus' people. I'm here to tell you this morning, we need to put the fire of the resurrection back in his people and start living like resurrected people. You, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in you. Is anybody like watching Gold Rush? I'm a Gold Rush fan. I like Gold Rush. I know this sounds way out of the box, but it makes sense in my head, right? Sometimes Lana after church tells me it made sense in your head. Might should have stayed in your head because it didn't make sense in my head. But things happen here. I've been watching Parker Schnabel since he was 16 years old. He just got in the new episodes of Gold Rush. He just got a new wash plant. Golden Goose, for those of you who watch. When he got that thing all set up and all tuned in and leveled and water to it, power to it, he wanted to see how fast you run. He wasn't content running 200 yards an hour. This machine was supposed to run 350 yards per hour. And the first thing he wanted to do was turn it all the way up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Jesus did it all. Turn it up. He's saying, I can run as fast as you'll just allow me to. turn it up. He's saying, I don't want to see what you can do. I want you to see what I can do. Trust me. I don't want to see what you can do. I know what you can do. But you can't wrap your brain around what I can do. That's the unity we have with our students. He's saying, hang on. I love a good roller coaster. Man, we went and did the Titans when the boys were a little bit younger. Orlando and I used to go to Six Flags Over Texas. And we thought those were huge roller coasters, right? And then we went back and took our boys and realized that all the roller coasters we liked looked like little dinky roller coasters to the stuff they're building now. So we rode this big ride called the Titanic. No, Titan. First time we rode it, Orlando blacked out. And I was really close. And the boys were like, do it again, right? And that's just hanging on with Jesus. It's like, do it again. He'll make you black out sometimes. But when you catch your air, do it again. Living life with Jesus is something that can't be explained in this life. And it's focus. It's cornerstone. It's purpose. Is a resurrection. It's completion. It's victory. It's the resurrection. It's like knowing who's going to win before the game got played. Because we keep thinking we're playing the game. Y'all, the game's been played. Jesus conquered. He just wants to know if you want to be on his team. I want to be on Jesus' team. And that means living today like a resurrected Jesus. This morning I want to challenge you with that message. I want to challenge you with being a new creation. I want to challenge you with living this out in a daily way. Allow his resurrection to influence and affect every day of your life. It will change your life. We have been joined with him in his resurrection. And he has conquered death. This morning as we celebrate an empty tomb, I hope that we can take, my takeaway this week is that you go home and celebrate this empty tomb every day. Because it's still empty. And tomorrow, guess what? Still empty. Which means he wants you to live. Live how? As he would. Free from the burden of sin. Knowing that you've been given new life through him. This morning I want to challenge you with that message. If there is anything that we can